Okay. I'll be talking about the gospel's origin and power. We can turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter number 1 and verses number 10 to 15. I can even go up to 16. Am I now seeking the favor of men or of God, or am I trying to please men? If I were still pleasing men, I should not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from man, or was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my father. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and had called me through the years was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with flesh and blood. The passage that we have read this morning is about Paul's defense of his life and the gospel he preached, because he's undergoing accusations that he has compromised the word of God, because he preached a different gospel according to the Judaizers. They accuse him that, Paul, you are trying to be all things to all men. You want to fit in. You want to please men. And then Paul begins to defend himself and he says, am I being a man pleaser? No, no, no. If I were a man pleaser, I would not be a servant of Christ. Okay? So, these accusations came about because when Paul had planted that church in Galatia, he went to another place and another group of Judaizers came who were also preaching, but they preached a mixed grill. They preached the word that was mixed grace and law. Okay? They preached law and grace. They said you can be saved by putting your faith in Christ, but you also have to be circumcised. That is what they preached. But Paul had preached grace alone. Salvation is through faith, is by grace through faith alone. That is what Paul preached. But the Judaizers are saying, no, 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 no. Paul, you are leaving out something. You want to make it lighter. You want these people to accommodate you. You want these people to love you. This is why you are compromising the gospel. You are telling them that it's only grace. It's only by faith that a person gets saved. What about circumcision? What about these other things? And Paul says, no, salvation is by faith, is by grace through faith alone. So this is the confrontation we are seeing right here. He's being accused that he has compromised. He's trying to win favor from and approval from people around him by maybe overlooking certain requirements of the law. That is how he's being accused. But Paul says, no, 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 no. I'm not compromising. I'm not trying to be a man pleaser. I've never been. Of course, at one time I was a man pleaser, but now I'm not pleasing any man. The gospel simply states that by grace, through faith, are you saved. And that is what salvation is all about. All of us are confronted with that in our daily walk in the Lord. All of us come to a point where we have to make a decision whether to be a man pleaser or to please God. This is a group and you want to fit in. And for you to fit in, you need to make some, you have to compromise. Many times we are faced with such in life where we have to make a decision to either please God or please man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And Paul was faced with that and he had to give his defense. And he said, I'm not a man pleaser. Many times I've personally been confronted with an opportunity where I needed to stand for God. And because I didn't want to lose my friends, I've compromised and I've ended up being a man pleaser rather than being a pleaser of God. You should understand Paul's background. Paul is coming from a kind of life where he didn't know Christ. And because he didn't know Christ, he persecuted the church. He persecuted Christians. He thought he was serving God. He was so zealous persecuting believers. When he got converted, a lot of people had doubts whether he was genuine or not. In fact, for believers, it was still fresh in their minds how Paul had to have Stephen stoned, licked. Stephen, one of the first deacons in the church, died because Paul wanted it that way. He was stopping Christians from worshiping God. So when Paul is now converted, he begins to defend the gospel which he persecuted. And Judaizers are saying, is not genuine. He's not being honest. Don't you remember how Stephen was stoned? Don't you remember that this guy was a Pharisee and he didn't love God? How come today he's saying he's preaching the gospel? This is why he's compromising. He doesn't want people to follow the law. He's only talking about faith and grace. What about circumcision? Listen, salvation is by grace through faith and nothing more, nothing less. It is not something we work for. You don't get saved because you've done something. No. You don't get saved because you've obeyed certain commandments. No. Salvation is a free gift of God. It's a free gift of God. A lot of people have prayed about it. A lot of people have fasted in order to be saved. It doesn't come out that way. It is a free gift. God simply gives it to you. I've heard a lot of people say, okay, I know this is just a play of words. I've given my life to Jesus. How many have given their lives to Jesus in here? Let me see if you've given your life to Jesus. Me, I didn't give my life to Jesus. He gave it to me. How can a dead person give his life? He's dead. The Bible says we were once dead in our sins. Can a dead person give? No, I didn't give my life. He gave his life to me. And I began to live. Come on, are you listening to me? Paul, before he began to preach the gospel, he experienced a touch from God. His life was completely changed. Before that, he was a persecutor of the church. That is his former experience. He was an arch persecutor of Christians and a supreme example of self-righteousness. By self-righteousness, I mean he thought he would gain salvation by his own works. He thought he was a holy person because he was a Pharisee. He thought he was a holy person because he tried to keep the law. And he thought he was a righteous person. Hence, he went on rampage persecuting believers. That was self-righteousness. You know what self-righteousness does? It's when you come to a place where you think, those are not believers. I'm a believer because I speak in tongues. My brother doesn't speak in tongues. He's not. That is self-righteousness. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's not a believer because he's not eloquent when he prays. He's not a believer because he doesn't belong to our church. He's not a believer because he doesn't wear a church uniform. Where you think you've attained salvation because of your works, that is self-righteousness. That is not salvation. So Paul, we see Paul as a persecutor of the church, and we see Paul being an example of supreme example of self-righteousness. That was his past. Now Paul experienced a radical change. He was set apart and called by God's grace. He was not called because he had done something, no. But he was called and set apart by God himself. It's God who chooses you. Are we together? I know some of these phrases. I chose God. You know, it's him who chooses. So this is what happened. Paul was set apart. To be set apart means to be sanctified. To be set apart means to be removed from one place and you are put in another place for something. Okay? He was set apart from the world, set apart to the gospel. Set apart from the world to something else supreme than that was being a servant of God, preaching the gospel. And from there he became a minister who revealed Christ. And he was called to preach Christ. And called to seek his gospel from God alone. Many times when Paul would preach, he would say, the gospel that I preached, I did not learn it from any man. God revealed it to me. That was the radical change that Paul experienced in his life. All of us need to experience what Paul experienced. Not in a similar way, but a moment when God touches your life and your life is drastically changed. You become a child of God. You are set apart from the things of this world. You are set apart to the gospel. You begin to live a life that honors God. By the way, being a Christian simply means falling in love with Jesus. Loving what Jesus loves and hating what Jesus hates. Falling in love with Jesus. Being a Christian simply means when people look at you, they see Jesus in you because he's alive. Are you listening to me this morning? Because he's alive. He wants to live his life through you. And this is what he does with Paul. Paul, a persecutor. Paul, a murderer. Paul, a Pharisee, away from God, is suddenly transformed and he begins to defend the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is transformation which we all need. Paul sought to please God and not men. He sought to please God and not men. Let us endeavor from today to please God rather than men. Verse 10 says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Either you are a servant of Christ or a servant of the people. Either you are a servant of Christ or you are a man pleaser. It's you to make a decision. Will I continue to please men? Will I continue to compromise my life in order to accommodate men, in order to be accepted by men? Paul says, no. If I do that, then I'm not a servant of Christ. You know, young people, you are coming from different homes, raised differently. All of us here have been raised differently from where we are coming from. Some of you are coming from good homes, godly homes. Your parents love God. And others, it's not like that. But it's never too late. God can touch you wherever you are. Are we together? But listen, when you come to North Rise University, some of you are coming from very strong Christian homes. But when you come here, you meet friends. Friends. Peer pressure. And your parents are not here. Your churchmates are not here. And you have to make a decision. Should I join this group in order to be approved, in order to be accepted? Or should I continue following Christ? Should I be a man pleaser? How do I get accepted in this group of friends? Should I compromise my values? Should I compromise my way of life in order to be accommodated? That is where a lot of us have missed it. Paul says, am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to do that, it means at one time Paul was a man pleaser. But now he has been radically changed. And he says, I will never be a man pleaser. Don't be a man pleaser. Please God in all you do. Look at Paul. He's being accused of playing double standards. But when you look at the life of Paul from the time he was converted, Paul was consistent after his conversion. He never sought the approval of men, but instead that of God. He never lived under the law, but by grace, even when he was with the religious Jews, Judaizers. He never lived a life of duplicity and deception in order to secure the support of the people. He never said one thing to one group and another thing to another group. That is what transformation did in the life of Paul. Young one, especially you girls, here you find some of your friends are putting on very expensive Malawian hair, or is it Tanzanian hair, and you can't afford that, and you want to, and you don't know where your friends are getting that money to beautify themselves, what are you going to do? And then they tell you, if you want to have this kind of hair, you should have a boyfriend, and we can take you where we find boyfriends. They are very generous. You wear expensive clothes, and apparently you are wearing kamariposa, a plastic shoe. Your hair is, you say kinky hair, your hair is something else, and you don't wear expensive clothes, but your friends are here, and you are wondering, I want to look good as well. I want to look like Maureen. I want to look like Yokbeth or Susan or whatever. That is what you encounter in the four-year journey you are at North Rise. Some of you have already encountered that, and you have to make a decision. Because of Malawian hair, should I lose my virginity? Because of Malawian hair, should I compromise my life in order to look like a friend? Are you listening to what I'm saying? A double life is a deception. A double life is costly. Live a life that honors God in abundance, even in scarcity. When I don't have, I should continue loving Jesus. Even when I don't have that hair, I will still love my Jesus. Time will come for me after I've graduated. God will bless me with a job, and I will buy the kind of hair I want without compromising on anything. Paul never lived a double life from the moment he was converted. I'm very embarrassed to share this, but maybe it can teach you something so that you don't act foolishly the way I did. I was embarrassed because I lived a double life. Are you listening to me? I remember some years ago, I was in Mansa and I was coming to the Copper Belt. I was a Christian and everyone knew I was a Christian. But this time around, I was alone and I saw that on the bus, there was no Mukaya. There was no one who knew me in that bus. And I sat comfortably. I was a young person, handsome, just like you. Today, when you look at me, when I smile, it's like I'm laughing. When I smile, it's like I'm crying. No, at one time, I was just like you. Now, what happened this day? True story. I was in Mansa. I jumped on a post bus. That was a long time before some of you were born. That was 1989. Yes, I was a pastor. So I was coming from Mansa. Willie jumped on a bus from Mansa. Then we went to Samfia, from Mansa, Samfia. And in Samfia, a lot of people got out of the bus and new people jumped on a bus. I was coming to Ndola. And then as people were jumping on the bus, there was this beautiful girl, smartly dressed. She looked immaculate. She was so fascinating. I was mesmerized, intrigued. And I was looking at her, trying to steal a glance at her. She was so beautiful. And I said in my heart, praise God. And I thought God had answered my prayer. And she came straight to where I sat. And I said, wow. And I changed my accent. I wanted to speak like from I was from Texas. Come on, my girl, you can sit around here. And she was so polite. She was smiling at me. And she sat next to me, just the two of us. And I knew she was also falling for me. Because there were other empty chairs. But she came straight to where I sat. I was also dressed nicely as a young man with black hair, not like this. And she sat, true story. Today you are laughing, but I was so embarrassed. So when she sat there and I began to calculate, now I'll give her my manifesto. I want to know where she's going, and I'll just propose her. I had the Bible in my pocket, those Gideons in my pocket, so it was hiding. And then we began to talk, and she was smiling. And then I was in the middle of my manifesto. Then she looked at me and said, "Pastor Mwanga, are you still preaching?" I'm telling you, I was so confused. I wanted to say, "I'm not Pastor Mwanga." I was so embarrassed. And she came to sit next to me because she remembered me. I preached in a crusade in Mukushi where she got saved. So when she saw me, she was saying, "This is the man who led me to Christ. Let me sit next to him and I share my testimony to him that I'm still standing in the Lord." And now the man who preached was a backslider. I'm telling you, I was coming to Ndola. I almost dropped from the bus in Mukushi. The journey was so long, the saliva in my mouth dried. Then from there, I remembered the words of the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, where he said, "Even as much as you believed when I was with you, much more when I'm not with you." When you are a Christian at North Rise University, even when you are in Luansha, remain a Christian. When you are in Livingstone, remain a Christian. Don't live a life of duplicity, a life of double standards. I learned a lesson that day, and I vowed when I jumped out of the bus in Indola, it's like my tail. If I had a tail, it had gone inside. I was so embarrassed. I asked God to forgive me, and I said, "Lord, forgive me." It's not easy to share things like this. I'm doing this because I don't want you to go through this same mistake. It's not easy for me to share like this, but it's true. I want you to learn never to live a life of double standards. God loves me. No wonder things happened that way. If he had not loved me, he would have let me continue that kind of life. But that day, I learned a lesson that the eyes of God, behold, is on. Wherever you go, the touch of God is on you. Wherever you go, God knows where you are going. Look at Paul. He was consistent after his conversion. I was not consistent, but Paul was consistent. No to the world and yes to the cross. I've decided to follow Jesus. No matter what happens, I'll follow Jesus. Though the world behind me, what does the song say? The world behind me, the cross before me. That is what consistency is all about. He never lived under the law. Living under the law meant thinking salvation is Jesus plus something else. That's when you get your salvation. No. It's by grace through faith alone. Ephesians 2:8 says, "By grace are we saved through faith." It's not something that we can boast about. If it was through prayer, I would boast, "I prayed a lot and God saved me." If it was giving out, I gave a lot and God saved me. If I kept something, I would say, "I'm a very good steward. This is why God rewarded me with salvation." But it's not something that we can boast about. It is a free gift. Not because of what we did, but because of what he did through his son on the cross. He never said one thing to one group and another thing to another group. At one time, yes, he was a man pleaser, but no more. Am I still a man pleaser? We can ask ourselves that question. It means that there was a time when Paul was a man pleaser, a time when he sought the favor and acceptance or approval of men, but he was no longer that. Once God touches you, you don't want to go back. If he has touched you, but you're still living the same kind of life, maybe he didn't touch you. I know you are saved, but how come the same type of life? Ask God. Submit yourself before God. Let God touch you. Let God strengthen you. Let God direct your path. Paul preached the gospel. His critics were saying that Paul was not a true minister of the Lord Jesus Christ because he had not walked with the Lord during his earthly ministry, saying what he was teaching was his own or man's gospel. I told you that Paul is trying to defend his apostleship and also defend the gospel he preached, because they are saying you've compromised the gospel, and others are also saying you are not a true apostle because you persecuted the church, you are not a true apostle because you never walked with Jesus, you are not among the 12. And then Paul says, "I'm an apostle because I saw Jesus by revelation, and the gospel that I preached, the gospel of grace, I was not taught by any man. It's God who gave it to me." Even today, I'm telling you the truth, people still struggle.
Even churches struggle on explaining how salvation comes about. They will tell you, for you to be saved, you have to go through Sunday school. For you to be saved, you have to go through katkumen. You call it katkumen? Yes. For you to be saved, you need to pass an exam. For you to be saved, you need to keep the law. For you to be saved, you need to do this and that. The gospel Paul preached, and he says, if anyone preaches a different gospel other than the one I preached, let him be accursed. What kind of gospel did Paul preach? He preached the gospel of grace. He preached that a person gets saved by grace through faith. Even when Martin Luther, you know, ran with the Reformation, that was the message. That was the message of the Reformation. Salvation through by grace through faith. But the gospel Paul preached was given to him by divine revelation from Jesus Christ. This is a truth shared by God to man, a truth that man never knew. This is what the gospel does. If really you have been encountered by this gospel, if really you have heard the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is what the gospel does. It transforms your life. You know, God gives you a new heart. He removes the heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh. God transforms you from inside out. You begin to hate sin. Sin no longer becomes your food. You begin to detest sin because your life is transformed. You've put on the nature of God. God is now your savior. Is now your best friend. You begin to love what he loves and you hate what he hates. At one time I was at church and we heard people were fighting, quarreling, and I saw a group of people rushing to watch a fight. I thought they were rushing there to stop people from fighting. But when they went there with Bibles, they began to support people. Hey, mume, hey. But apparently, and then I'm beginning to wonder, what has happened? Have they heard the true gospel? And I was questioning myself as a pastor preaching to them. Have I preached the true gospel? Because the true gospel transforms lives. The true gospel changes lives from inside out. Let me tell you the truth. If really you are encountered by this gospel, it will transform your life inside out. What you wear speaks a lot as to whether you've been touched by this gospel. I don't expect someone who has been touched by this gospel to wear a mini skirt up to here. Then you are wondering, what kind of gospel did they hear? If someone has been touched by this gospel, you don't hear them insult. You don't hear them prostitute around. Then you wonder, is this the true gospel? When you look at the life of Paul, that gospel transformed his life. He became a brand new person, and he says, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Are you listening to me this morning? Young one, are you listening to me this morning? This is what the gospel does. It transforms lives. It also transforms communities. A changed life will change also the community. If Jesus is in your life, even your surrounding will change. Where you stay, where you live, your community will be affected. If genuinely we had 1,000 believers who love the Lord in the city of Undola, genuinely, this city will never be the same. I was asking myself, I used to be an interpreter for big crusades such as Benin Crusade, Renard Bonk. I've been an interpreter for those great evangelists, so to speak, and they would preach the gospel and invite people to give their lives to Jesus. And people raise their hands in thousands. But after 1 week, I ask myself, those thousands who raised their hands, are they believers? Where are they? You don't see them. And I asked myself, did anything happen in their life? Listen, if really the gospel touches your life, even your surrounding will change. The gospel also transforms the world. The gospel transforms the world. This world becomes a better world because of the power of the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. Come on, Northrise. Let this gospel reign in our lives. Am I speaking to someone this morning? Would you like Jesus to touch you? Bless you with life? Life eternal?
Ndesekela tata wakumulu Anjevele fya kutemwa kwa kwe Munkala tande monefisuma Hichachila yesu halintende sekela Ndesekele lalintemwa yesu yesu ye Yesu hali Ndesekela, ndesekele, lalintemwa, Yesu, Yesu, alinte.
Let's just bow our heads in humility before God.
Ndesekela, ndesekele, lalintemwa, Yesu, Yesu, Yesu. Yesu alinte desekela desekele alinte moi Yesu Yesu alinte.
You can talk to God quietly in your heart. You can talk to him and say, "Here I am, Lord. Have mercy upon me. I'm a sinner." He's here. By his spirit, is he touching each one of us because he loves us and he wants to give us this new life? You can pray to God. You can whisper to him. No one will hear that prayer but him alone. And this day will be a day when you shall remember that there was a day when I opened my heart and Jesus came in and transformed my life.
We thank you, Father, this morning. For touching that life, that matter to you. For blessing that life, for reviving that soul. For encouraging that soul, Lord. For blessing that soul, and for healing that soul. For transforming that life. We honor you, Lord, for that life. Be glorified in our lives this morning. We give you honor and praise. We ask all this through the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone said, Amen and Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much.